This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to think of it, the Nick Nurse meme that is all the rage right now, trending, even if he doesn't know if that's good or bad. That meme is perfect to describe the ending of Sharks Golden Knights. If you're just waking up on this Monday morning, well, good morning to you. Hope that you enjoyed your Easter weekend, your Passover weekend, and whether you're working, whether you're driving. I have a lot of friends who are not working or in school on Monday, and so instead, they'll be traveling back to whence they came. And so a lot of people out of the regular routines. But if you are into your normal Monday morning routine, well, welcome to a Manic Monday, and welcome to a pair of Game 7s. That should make it a little easier to wake up. So Nick Nurse could have been reacting with his giant, oh, you just picture the largest perfect O you can make with your mouth. It looks like a giant yawn, which is why I keep yawning. It's terrible. Yawning is so contagious for me. Anyway, watching the end of the Sharks Golden Knights, not through one overtime, but on into the second overtime, and almost halfway through the second overtime, these teams are beating each other up. I mean, there were more checks and nasty hits than there were actual shots on goal, at least for the San Jose Sharks. And it's really fitting that when they ended up with the game winner halfway through the second overtime period, it was not only historic, but it was also one that went completely the opposite of what you would have expected there in Vegas on this particular shift.
Here comes Vegas on the power play to the Sharks line. Burns checking it, can't clear it. Kept in by Theodore, throws front of the net. Vlasic sends it ahead to Hurdle. He's shorthanded. He's moving in. He shoots. He scores! Tomas Hurdle wins in the second overtime with a shorthanded goal.
As Dan Rusinowski on the Sharks radio network. I mean, the highlights from this game, as I say, are more nasty hits and checks and just punishing physical play than there are goals scored. There were only three, and this one in overtime by Tomas Hurdle, his fifth of the series, actually came on a Sharks shorthanded situation. So they were on the penalty kill, and the Knights had a good scoring opportunity. In fact, they had many of those. They had a great scoring opportunity, and instead there's a turnover, and Mark-Edward Vlasic sends it up ice to a streaking Hurdle, and he actually, instead of getting the body contact from the defender who was on him, instead you have that defender going for the puck. It was Shea Theodore. He was going for the puck, trying to get the puck away from Hurdle instead of, you know, applying that physical check or trying to play the man that was Hurdle and not the puck. And so Hurdle had an opportunity. And he said that he saw Fleury take a step toward the strong side, toward the glove side, because that's where Hurdle had been placing most of his shots. And so he went oppo, so to speak, and he went over Fleury's left shoulder instead. And no, Fleury was ticked at himself. No doubt that's a shot that he could have stopped 10 times out of the next 10, 9 times out of the next 10. But they're exhausted, and they've been out there having to focus and lock in for so long. So it certainly was a game that afterwards they're just dying, right? They're trying to get home as quickly as possible to host a game 7. Just amazing to see them lay it all out there on the ice. And as much as we benefit as fans to get a game 7, not sure there is a better two-word phrase in sports. We've talked about this a bunch. As much as we benefit from a game 7, these guys have a really quick turnaround in 48 hours. So it's gut check time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's the first time in NHL postseason history that a shorthanded goal has decided a game in double overtime or later. In other words, it's never happened that way. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So that's one half of the Game 7 doubleheader that we'll get on Tuesday. And actually, you know what? That segues pretty perfectly into what we were talking about over the last hour or so. And I know some of you want to weigh in. Many of you are finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, in addition to the Nick Nurse meme. But you may have seen the headlines after Hurdle scored. Instantly, there was the memory, and in some cases the video, making its rounds from Game 5, in which he said there was going to be a Game 7. We have one more game. We're going to come back for Game 7. I believe it. We're a better team than them. So that was Game 5 when the Sharks were still trailing 3-2 against the Golden Knights. But they were leaving SAP Center. The fans were whipped into a frenzy. And Hurdle does this interview with Jamie Baker on the ice on NBC Sports California, in which he says, I know we have one more game and come back for Game 7. Now, in no way did he say, I guarantee there will be a Game 7. But that's what it turned into. One of his teammates said he has trouble with translation. He doesn't speak great English, so you shouldn't be reading anything into that. But right away, it turned into Hurdle guarantees a Game 7. That was the line. That was the sentiment. That was the clickbait that was making the rounds. Well, that's not actually what he said. He was speaking to the media. He was doing a post-game interview, and it got twisted. Now, that's not exactly why Russell Westbrook has been sullen with one particular member of the media in Oklahoma City. And, you know, he's not super gracious with the rest of the media either. Sometimes he answers questions, and sometimes he doesn't. But with one particular member of the media, Barry Trammell, who's been on the show before, I know him personally. I worked with him when I lived in Oklahoma City. Russ took exception to a question that Barry asked him 2 years ago. And for the most part, has pretty much ignored Barry since then. Or when Barry asks a question, he says next question, if he deigns to answer. And so we're asking you, in light of what I just said about Hurdle, the clickbait, the guarantee, the way that that was twisted into something that it wasn't, and some of these personal vendettas that athletes may carry against reporters, or in general, just a distaste for answering questions, should professional athletes be compelled to speak to the media, whether it's print, whether it's digital, whether it's TV, whether it's radio? Is that part of their responsibility as pro athletes, or should they be allowed to blow it off? Do their responsibilities end when they step off the court, the field, or the ice? So again, that's our question that we're asking you. And we're also letting you give us captions for the Nick Nurse meme because that's just fun. So on Twitter or on Facebook, and our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. In the NBA postseason, we had a pair of athletes who were really comfortable. You could call it home cooking. You could say you can, in fact, go home again. But two athletes who were a major part of why their teams won on Sunday, and they did it in front of family and friends in friendly confines. One of those being Klay Thompson. As the Warriors were in Los Angeles, he comes out and hits his first 7 shots and scores 32 points. So he gives the Warriors a huge boost right off the jump. And it was perfect timing because his fellow Splash brother didn't have a 3 until the second half. It was 3 of 14 overall. But Klay Thompson had that look in his eye. He was locked in, and he said there's a reason for it. It was good to be home in Southern California.
Oh, man, I did a couple things. I didn't think I had bad games, but I didn't have any big games. I told Jonas yesterday, we went to the beach, played some volleyball. I'm like, yo, I'm just going to go jump in the ocean. I just know that will reset my mind, and it worked. So I don't know if I'm going to jump up north because it's freezing, but something I'll definitely contemplate if I don't shoot the ball that well the rest of the year. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
At home cooking, I know the Pacific Ocean is undefeated. Yeah, I think he got his feet wet yesterday. Walked in the hotel with a wet T-shirt, with the shades on, and typical Clay type of vibe. And I just had a smile on my face when I saw him. Cause I knew what that meant. So it's nice for him to show out like he did. And we ate it every bit of it for sure.
The Pacific Ocean is undefeated. Clay also said on the post game on ABC that it was really good to be home in front of family and friends. And, his dad, Michael Thompson, actually part of the Lakers broadcast, but he played there for the Lakers for a long time. And so Clay spent a lot of his growing up years in Southern California. So
typical Clay type of vibe.
And I feel like Clay's vibe is definitely SoCal. So maybe that leads to some speculation that he would like to play in SoCal when his current deal is up. He is about to be a free agent. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. No, I'm not starting rumors. You can wear shades in Northern California as well. I guess it's not always sunny, though, in Northern California. But they are about to open up a brand new arena, so maybe that's exciting. So for Clay Thompson, the home cooking, so to speak, the friendly confines, it really benefited him, served him well. It did the same thing for Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics.
Gordon Hayward switches to the right hand, driving strong, draws some contact. Runner is good. Scored on the foul for Gordon Hayward.
Woo! Gordon Hayward, bang, bang, Santa Claus.
Gordon Hayward behind the Horford screen. He's deep. He's going to do this himself. Gordon Hayward, pull up three. Got it!
That was nasty.
They say you can't come home again. Gordon Hayward back in the building where he won a state championship. Finds Hayward, the hot hand for three. Good night. Gordon Hayward, appropriately enough, comes home to Indiana and closes the show. Timeout, Nate McMillan. But this game, this series, and his season are over.
I really wanted to win I think that's it. Just trying to be a competitor out there, and juices were flowing for sure. So, closeout game.
A little extra juicy juice for Gordon Hayward. And you hear Sean Grady and Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics Radio Network. The second playoff sweep by the Celtics since the mid-80s. Since the days of Larry Bird. Just the second playoff series sweep for the Celtics since Larry Bird was wearing short shorts. And their first in 8 years. By the way, there was a lot of Larry Bird on the broadcast on Sunday. He and his wife. I always enjoy seeing them in the crowd, and I always wonder who he's rooting for, because of course he's still working for the Pacers. He was their president of basketball operations for a while, coached them after he immediately retired, and it's the Celtics, so I don't really know if he has loyalties now into his early 60s, but it was good to see him. So Gordon Hayward and Marcus Morris with some big triples in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, the Celtics didn't shoot well in this series. Now, credit the Pacers for being gritty, and obviously Miles Turner is one of the best defensive players in the NBA anyway, and so he poses a major problem, especially around the rim. And the Pacers didn't have quite enough. Without Victor Oladipo, remember early in the series, in fact, when they were in Boston, they had a quarter of 8 points. Then they had a quarter in which they scored 12 points. They didn't quite put together an entire game. And in the fourth quarter, the Celtics were able to string together a bunch of shots. And so they move on. In fact, they're the first NBA team to move into the conference semifinals. And you can start to see the potential once they're in a groove and they've got the sense of urgency. Hayward with the 20 points off the bench. I think Marcus Morris had 18 off the bench. They've got a lot of options. And they've had different guys who've stepped up. But how will they fare against the Milwaukee Bucks, who could close out their series against the Pistons coming up on Monday night? So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We have so much to talk about. Not only Game 7s. The Bruins and the Maple Leafs will be going to a Game 7. A lot of you told me that's how it would play out. And I'm not sure we could ask for anything more. We've got our Man Crush Monday poll up as well. And we've got a hodgepodge. It's really difficult this time of the year to come up with only four candidates. So we want you to write in a vote if you're not voting for any of these guys. But Tomas Hertl with the shorthanded double overtime winner for the Sharks. Cody Bellinger, who now has 10 home runs but also robbed another one from Christian Yelich on Sunday. We just talked about Gordon Hayward. Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors we talked about before the top of the hour. A 34-point performance from him as the Raptors are now on the verge of moving into the second round. And no LeBron James anywhere in sight. That seems to me like it's a mental issue. It's a mental block for the Raptors, but they don't have to worry about it. So we're inching closer to a full picture of the second round. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Near circle, not Krug. High slot, Marchand. Far circle, Pastrnak. Had it on his backhand. Shoots. Krug shoots. He scores! The Bruins able to work the puck around. Fire one. Krug gets the rebound in the near circle, and he rips it inside the near post. Ah, power play goal! 2-1 Bruins! And the Bruins batted up the near side and out. Might have a 2-on-1. Krejci to DeBrusk over the line right side. It's 2-on-2. Krejci right circle. Centers deflected. They score! Jake DeBrusk able to win his battle. Charges to the front of the net. Got the stick down and deflects it home. Bruins 3, Leafs 1.
Well, to me, it's the best game we've played. I thought Game 2 we were very good. I think it was more of an ornery response from a just not a typical Bruins Game 1 playoff. We kind of knew we had to step up. Today was more of the way we wanted. We wanted to be aggressive, keep the pucks alive with our D. That's how you end up with 10 shots as defensemen.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, as they force a Game 7 in Toronto. I mean, they force it by winning Game 6 in Toronto. Sorry, that sounded like I meant they were playing in Toronto for Game 7. No, they will be hosting Game 7 coming up on Tuesday in Boston. Before that, Judd Surratt on the Bruins Radio Network. So Brad Marchand always helps when your leaders, when your best players step up in these types of games where you either win or you go home. Marchand with a pair of goals and an assist. Tuukka Rask with 22 saves. And I thought it was interesting what Coach said about they didn't play their best in Game 5 and had to quickly turn around and figure out, both mentally and physically, we're going to have to find another gear. We're going to have to play better because we didn't put our best foot forward when we had the chance to take advantage in the always pivotal, critical Game 5. So now you've got this Game 7 between two of the original six, which it just brings all of the history. And I know we talked about it before the top of the hour with Greg Brady from the Fan 590 in Toronto. But the fact that the Maple Leafs have run into this Bruins buzzsaw twice in a Game 7 in the last 7 years means that there are the ghosts, there are the demons, right, of the past. And so that adds a little spice to it. But also, they're pretty familiar with one another. Even if it's not these particular players, there are a lot of young guys, of course, on both rosters. But one of the series just happened last year, so at least you've got some recent history for them to call on. So looking forward to that game on Tuesday. The second half of the doubleheader will be in San Jose, so other side of the country, at the Tank SAP Center, where you'll see whether or not the Sharks can rally from a 3-1 deficit in their playoff series against the Golden Knights. And their history is very brief, but this is the second year in which they have played each other in the postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Tom, who's in Maryland. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Amy. I was listening to you, and you talked about a poll you had. Does the public think that the superstars, or actually any sports people, should have to talk to media? And the answer was no. What would happen if they were snubbed in public by the same people? How would they feel that? I guarantee you they would say, oh, no, they need to talk to us. They need to do selfies.
Wait, I'm sorry. I think I misunderstood you a little bit. So you're saying that they should be required to speak to the media, or you're saying they shouldn't?
I have nothing to say about that poll. I'm talking about the people who voted on that poll that said they should not have to speak to the media, but those same people would be upset if they got snubbed.
Oh, okay. So you're saying we don't care if the people who would say we don't care if the athletes speak to the media, give post-game press comments, all that kind of stuff, but they would then take exception, if the athletes refuse to give them a photo or an autograph in public.
Absolute. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. I actually feel like athletes have more of a responsibility to speak to the media, and it's not because I'm a member of the media, because I feel like it's part of their job. It feeds the voracious appetite of fans. It also it also helps to promote the sport. The more that you have athletes talking about it, I mean, thinking maybe along the lines of yesterday, don't we all want to know what Tomas Hertl has to say after scoring a double overtime game winner? I mean, Klay Thompson talking about taking a dip in the Pacific Ocean, and Steph Curry talking about seeing that clay kind of vibe. I mean, those are the types of things that make the sport come alive in a different way, that give it a different dimension. And so I actually believe they have more of a responsibility to speak to the media and to talk about their performances than I do feel like they have a responsibility to sign autographs. But
yeah, but it comes with the territory.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think if you feel like that's their worst problem you have, then you're probably in pretty good shape. Tom, yep. Thank you so much for the phone call. 855-212-4227. There certainly are ways that athletes can avoid giving any pertinent information. I mean, think about Bill Belichick. He's not always loquacious. In fact, he may not even know what loquacious means. Oh, he's a smart guy. He's not super verbose when it comes to the media, but he understands it's part of the job. Now, here's something that I think is interesting, but also pretty easy to answer. Daniel says on Twitter, I think freedom of speech falls into place here. They aren't required to speak. Obligated, yes, but not required, which I kind of feel like obligated and required are the exact same thing, but I could be wrong. He says, it's just my opinion. No, actually, freedom of speech does not come into play here. You have a private employer. You have a job. And if your job requires you to speak to the media, then you have to do your job. It is required by some of the leagues in certain cases, too. More often in the playoffs, when it's a big game, they do have media time that they set aside. Now, you can sit up there like Russell Westbrook does and say no question. And if your franchise and your league lets you get away with that, okay. But at this point, at least, the leagues are requiring that the athletes show up. And in many cases, it's part of their contracts when it comes to things like playoff series and access around big games. So you can, again, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Carlton says, as the faces of the franchise, they do have the responsibility to deal with the media as team representatives. But a lot of you are saying they should be able to choose to talk to the media at their own discretion, which some of them do definitely take off out the back door when they don't want to. I'd rather Russell Westbrook does that than sit there and say next question or refuse to answer questions. But the Thunder front office doesn't make him change. So for now, it's kind of like the Marshawn Lynch deal with the, I'm just here so I don't get fined, which we had fun with for days. All right. Twitter, Facebook, the Nick Nurse meme is up on our Twitter, which is awesome. I just retweeted it. We've got our Man Crush Monday poll. Andrew Bogish is here in studio. Have you seen the Nick Nurse meme?
I saw your tweet with a still picture of Coach Nurse.
Hey,
it wasn't moving.
Chris told me that's what a meme is. He said a GIF moves, a meme does not.
I thought they both had.
I don't know. Chris just told. He just gave me a thumbs up as well. I feel like we should kowtow to the kids when it comes to.
Sure. Then I
social
saw
media.
It. Then,
okay.
Then I saw it. Yeah.
Did you see
it's
the context?
A good thing.
11 seconds of him with his mouth open in this giant O.
Yeah, that I didn't know.
Yeah, someone counted. Not me. I just want you to know I don't have that kind of time on my hands to count for 11 seconds of how long he's got his mouth open. But it's good stuff. That might be my new favorite meme.
Yeah, so because I'm a nerd, I just pulled up the definition of meme.
Oh, my gosh.
And a meme can be an image or a video or a piece of text. So, I mean,
Chris disagrees with you.
Well, then you disagree with dictionary.com.
Yes.
Not me.
Millennials don't care about the dictionary.
Of course not. Who needs facts? So we're all right.
Anyway, did you see it was the point.
I did see it. I didn't know the context. And yes.
It reminds me of the Chris Pratt, which is a gif out there from Parks and Rec. Is that what you told me, Brian? It's from Parks and Rec. Where he does that.
Yeah.
The giant O face. But also it makes me want to yawn, which is easy this time of the morning.
Yes.
In fact, just talking about it makes me want to. I'm a highly contagious yawner, so don't do it, Andrew. Don't yawn.
I'm not even looking at
okay,
you.
Okay, good. No, don't look at me. I'm hiding behind my computer screen.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I don't think we're going to coin that phrase, radio wife. Doesn't seem like something I want to get into. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we've got a doubleheader in Major League Baseball. We've got more than that. We've got a doubleheader in the NBA. Aim, get it together. Hold it together. We're talking about a few more minutes. A little flustered. Boss just came in, asked me for something extra. My brain's now going in a different direction. Breathing into my paper bag again like I was last night during overtime and double overtime for Sharks and Golden Knights. Okay, putting the bag aside. We're good. Zen. Doubleheader in the NBA tonight, Monday night, as well as a doubleheader in the NHL. And so we have the potential for a couple more series to be closed out. Both the Bucks and the Rockets can sweep. How many sweeps do we need in the first round, for heaven's sakes? So you've got game fours with the Rockets and the Jazz, and then with the Bucks and with the Pistons. And you also have a pair of game sixes. So it's fours and sixes in the NHL. Yeah, it's this is where it gets good and where I just start to root for game sevens. That's what I'm looking for. Not sure if you saw the news that TJ Oshie, we finally know what the injury was. He has a broken clavicle, broken collarbone. So he had surgery on that on Sunday, which sucks for the Capitals, sucks for TJ, of course. It would suck more if they hadn't already won the Stanley Cup. And so he's obviously out for the foreseeable future. But for a while, it was just an undisclosed upper body injury. And now we know that when he hit the boards with that Warren Fogle hit, he broke his clavicle. Ouch, ouch, ouch. No doubt it was a lot of pain. It's After Hours. Just ask Aaron Rodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
How are you doing, Amy?
I'm holding on to my clavicle right now just because I'm showing solidarity for TJ Oshie.
So just to say what Brady was talking about. So I work in the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. And when the Leafs play, it's music off, sound on the TV, packed house. When the Raptors play, it's half packed house, TV's on with them on mute, if that sums it up for you.
So what you're saying is that you need to have complete silence to watch your hockey. You hockey fans are divas. But when it comes to basketball, it's no big thing.
I guess. And and with Kawhi, I mean, ever since I was able to like support myself and get my first job as a kid, my feet have been in Nike shoes. But if Kawhi stays in Toronto, I'm going to buy his New Balances.
Oh, I bet he'll really appreciate that.
And tonight,
are you confident though? Are you confident you're going to have to make that kind of a change?
I'm like 80% because, you know, they give him all this time off when he wants time. I don't know if he wants time off, but they let him rest. He doesn't play all the games in the regular season. And like, I don't know if I'm a big athlete and I'm looking at something like that. It's like, here's the keys to the city. Here's the keys to the team. You can do what you want type deal. Like, I'd want to stay. I made a prediction with a coworker earlier this year. Because I know Durant and Drake are BFFs. So I was like, I bet you that Durant comes over and Kawhi stays.
Durant and Drake, as in the singer Drake?
Yeah.
You know they're BFFs?
They're like best friends. Remember Drake got fined by the NBA for trying to recruit Durant to the Raptors?
No.
Before he went to Golden State?
No.
No, the NBA fined him for tampering because he's a Raptors ambassador, right?
Oh.
And he made he was at a concert and Kevin Durant joined him on stage and he was telling everyone to like get him to come to the Raptors, and the Raptors were Durant's favorite team as a kid, so I'm hoping for Durant comes over and Kawhi stays.
Mm. Because they're BFFs, because of Drake. Really, I hate to break this to you, Mike, but if you are putting all your eggs in the Drake basket, it's probably not going to go well for you.
I'm not a Drake fan personally, but.
All right, well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know that he's made his decision yet. And the farther the Raptors go, and the more comfortable he gets there, maybe he likes the playoff fans, even though they don't, in the bars, they don't put the music on mute. Instead, they play the music even louder. He's that kind of guy. When he gets comfortable, he doesn't like change a whole lot. And so we'll see if that applies in Toronto. But you know what? I think it has a lot to do with how the rest of the season goes.
Yeah, true. But if Kyle Lowry shows up in game one, we're sweeping Orlando. We're going to the finals, sure, without LeBron around. And it's not a mental thing. It's true.
No, that's a problem. If the only reason the Raptors couldn't have confidence or weren't believing that they could do it, or the only reason they couldn't do it is because LeBron was there, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. LeBron has actually lost playoff series before, you know that, right? Which means
yes.
That he is not, he's not invincible. He's not Godzilla. He's a basketball player. So if Toronto had played the style of basketball that they were capable of, they wouldn't have lost to LeBron's Cavaliers last year.
Spend a week in Toronto and you'll be a believer.
No, a believer in what? That LeBron is their personal nemesis?
He is.
No, he's one man. A team is always better than one player, always. A good team is always better than one player.
Not when it's LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I can understand why your basketball team has that same mentality. Defeatist. I got you, man. All right, Antoine's in Atlanta. Antoine, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, first time caller, love the show.
Boom. Thank you.
I just was wondering what was, like, the reporters' question to Westbrook years ago. Like, what was it that happened? Like,
well, it was only 2 years ago, and the question was, so there was a stretch in which the Thunder had played without Westbrook. He was on the bench, and this is pre-Paul George. So Westbrook goes to the bench in a playoff game, and the team really floundered. They were bad without him. They looked unorganized. They couldn't score, and they lost a lead. I think at the time they had a lead, and they lost the lead. And so this reporter, Barry Trammell, who, again, I know personally, asked
right.
Stephen Adams, not Russ, asked Stephen Adams, what happened to your team when Russ went to the bench? And Russ took exception and covered up Adams' mic and was like, no. Don't try to split us up. And was like, don't try to drive a wedge in our locker room. And so that was what he took exception to. And since then, really hasn't said a whole lot to Trammell other than next question, or just flat out ignored him.
So he didn't even insult him. I thought he insulted him. Maybe he should apologize, but it's not even the case. Westbrook's just sensitive. Okay. I got it.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely the case.
I got it. Amy, you're so knowledgeable. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Antoine. It's good to hear from you. I appreciate your call in Atlanta. Now, in terms of Barry Trammell, he's written about this situation with Russ. And last night it wasn't a next question. It was good question. I don't know. That was how he responded last night when Barry asked him a question. So Barry's written a column for The Oklahoman, which is his newspaper, and it's online. In fact, it was on Twitter. You can find it. In which he said, I will keep asking questions because I feel like it's an athlete's responsibility to talk to the media about your craft. We're not asking you to talk about your personal life if you don't want to. We're not asking you to talk about anything that doesn't have to do with basketball. But when it comes to basketball, we have a job to do just like you have a job to do. And the two jobs they can be symbiotic. And so he said he's going to keep asking Russ questions, even though Russ is not answering. And he goes on to say, now this was not extremely flattering, but he goes on to say one of the reasons why he continues to ask Russ questions is because he feels like Russ has way too much power. The franchise has allowed him essentially to run roughshod and to do whatever he wants. And so they've allowed him carte blanche, a blank check. You can do what you want. You can say what you want. You can act like you want. You can dress like you want, because they are so desperate to keep him in Oklahoma City. So they've said, do what you want, Russ. However you want to do it, we'll support you. And Barry writes in his column that it's not a whole lot different with other members of the media. It's not just him. Now, he gets the brunt of it. But there are times when Russ is sullen and surly and doesn't want to answer any questions. And so he doesn't. And anyway, Barry says he's going to continue to ask because he feels like it underscores the point that Russ has kind of taken the reins and just now doesn't respect anyone really and doesn't want to have to answer the media at all. And I think, again, I'll say it the same as I just did. We don't need to know about your personal life. That's up to you. You don't have to talk about your family. You don't have to talk about what you do in your off days. You don't even have to talk about what you're doing when you leave the arena. But we're paying, as paying customers, we go to the games, we watch on TV, we follow on social media the teams, not always even the athletes, but the teams. We're fans, and it should be a relationship that benefits both sides. So without the media, there's not the same kind of access. But also, the media gives these athletes a platform. They expand their platform. They help to promote the franchises. And if these are superstars who are the face of the franchises, then there's a responsibility there as well to take some ownership. And so, yeah, there's certainly a way that you can answer questions and not say anything whatsoever. You don't have to give any type of info, any strategy, any insight like Bill Belichick very often does, or Greg Popovich, for heaven's sakes. But to treat one person like that because you're holding a vendetta is ridiculous, and I think the franchise should step in. But also, I feel like it is part of the job as a pro athlete. You get paid to play a game, so I feel like you should have to then talk about your craft because there is a voracious appetite for what you're doing, and part of your popularity is based on the fact that fans have access to you and to your sport. All right, coming up Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, CBS Sports Network's Inside College Football digs deeper into the upcoming NFL draft, breaking down the best arms in the game and asking who are the league's next superstars. So don't miss the quarterback show on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. We're back tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.